Dear brothers and sisters, good morning. Yesterday, the church celebrated the Feast of St. Francis of Assisi, certainly one of the more popular and well-known saints in our calendar. There's a certain scene from the life of St. Francis that's always both moved me and puzzled me. And that is, at the beginning of his kind of ministry, as Francis had left everything behind, but before he knew what the Lord was calling him to. He was praying in the church of San Damiano, and the crucifix came alive. And Jesus spoke to him and said, "Francis, go and rebuild my church, which, as you can see, has fallen to ruin." Now, Francis thought he meant the actual church building, so he started doing renovations. But it was clear to him before too long that he was called to actually help the universal church by founding the Franciscan order. Very beautiful and very good. Here's the thing that puzzles me. Every historian of the church will tell you that the church of Francis's time was pretty much better than it had ever been. Okay, it was in the middle of a golden age. And yet the Lord looked down upon that and said, "My church has fallen to ruin." And I always think, if he thought that in the age of saints, in the age that would produce Thomas Aquinas and Bonaventure and Albert the Great and Francis and Dominic and Catherine of Siena, etc., 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 how does he feel about now? I don't know how he feels about now. But that reality of God calling him to go out and God, in fact, initiating that whole movement, which historians call the Great Alleluia, is one of several moments of revival throughout the history of the church. And if you look upon it, and I don't think this will come as any surprise to you, when people turn their hearts and minds back to God, when people focus more on God, when people practice their religion more ardently and more faithfully, guess what? The world got better. Things got more fair. Things got more peaceful. People loved one another more. The world got better. And I was thinking about that as we move to our first petition of the Our Father this weekend. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Certainly we pray it in older English, but in this month of October that ends with Halloween, I hope you remember that hallow means holy, right? To be holy. And so, hallowed be thy name means, Lord, may your name be held as holy. It's the counterpiece, right? To the second commandment. Do not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Okay, good. Hallowed be thy name. We pray that God's name be held as holy, God's name be respected, God's name be promoted. And we don't just mean like his name. We mean, of course, his reputation, the image of him, the way people speak about him, etc. Now, why would we pray for that? Why would Jesus teach us to pray for that? Why would Jesus say that of all the desires and all the things that you need to pray for, that should be the first thing? Is it because God is vain or something like that? No. Because Jesus knows, as we should know if we thought about it just for a second, that when God's name is held as holy, when God's name is hallowed, when God's name is held in reverence, when people turn to him, when people love him, when people promote him, everything gets better. Everything gets better. And if we want the world, I mean, people are always talking about how bad the world is. If we want the world to be better, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. We pray that people would not use God's name as a cloak for violence, that people would not use God's name as a cloak for partisanship, that people would not use God's name as a cloak for evil, but that God would be known in his glory, God would be known in his majesty, God would be known in his beauty, God would be known in his truth, that people would reverence and adore him. That people would believe in him and worship him. Because we know that when that happens, when people acknowledge his grandeur and his love and obey his commandments, things get better. Things get better. And we know the opposite, right? We know that when his name is taken in vain, and I don't mean the way people do it in casual conversation. I mean, when God is treated as a joke, when God is treated as a bully, when God is treated as unreal, when God is treated as unimportant, people begin to think that they have nothing to live for except their own drives and desires. It's impossible for us, I think, not to worship. And so if we're not going to worship God, we're just going to worship our own wants. And that'll be the whole end and purpose of our life. We give our entire life, we pledge our entire life to just following the desire of the moment. And all the Cajun grandmas in heaven say, "Papa." It's not good. It's not good when that happens. And so, dear brothers and sisters, when we pray, "Hallowed be thy name," I want you to know that it's not, I mean, certainly we need to hold God's name in reverence in our own conversation, but it's just bigger than that. Right? We're praying that God be acknowledged and glorified by the world. Because he deserves it. Because he deserves it. And as I mentioned already, we see that whenever we pray the Our Father, this is the measure and the plan and the limits for all our own prayers. And I told you that St. Augustine said every legitimate prayer can be found in the Our Father. And so today we have a legitimate prayer in the Gospel where the apostles approach Jesus and say, "Increase our faith." What is that other than saying, "Hallowed be thy name"? Lord, teach us to love you more. Teach us to believe in you more. Teach us to acknowledge you more, to trust you more. Hallowed be thy name. Lord, we understand that our own hearts go astray. Increase our faith. And then the Lord, who, as I've already mentioned, always answers questions not exactly straight on. He just basically says, "Increase your faith. If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you would be able to tell this mountain to be uprooted and thrown into the ocean." Right? Start asking for faith to begin with. Right? But still, that reality is there. And in the second reading, we hear that if we do pray, "Hallowed be thy name," and we mean it, we better be prepared to act on it. Right? Stir into flame the gift that God gave you through the imposition of my hands. Now, in this case, he's probably talking about ordination, but for all of us, it would be for confirmation. That God has poured forth the fire of his Spirit into our hearts so that we can proclaim his name. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a power and love and self-control. So do not be ashamed of your testimony to the Lord. If you pray, "Hallowed be your name," but then you're not prepared to go and glorify God's name, how sincere of a prayer was it? Right? If I pray, "Lord, heal me of my chronic illness," and the next 30 seconds the doctor calls and says, "We'd like to bring you in, we have a new cure," and I'm like, busy that day. Well, how sincere of a prayer was it, right? How sincere of a prayer was it? But there is another aspect of hallowing God's name, of glorifying God's name, that I want to approach. I'm a little bit better today. But boy, when I was preparing this, I looked at Habakkuk, and as the kids today said, I was vibing with him. Okay. I need you to hear what the prophets actually say. Because sometimes we have this really weird idea that the whole Bible lives in this clean la-la land. And you have a prophet of the Lord screaming at God. "How long, O Lord? I cry for help, but you do not listen. I cry out violence, but you do not intervene. Why do you let me see ruin? Why must I look at misery?" He's not happy. He is screaming in misery to the Lord. And that too can be a real prayer. And ironically enough, you might be surprised, but ironically enough, that is a real sense of "Hallowed be thy name." We're saying, "Lord, we know that you're good. We know that you're loving. We know that you're true and loyal. Show it." Show it. Right? And manifest your glory. Manifest your glory. I think all the time about the kind of, I mean, it's a little cynical to put it this way, but the kind of weird bargaining that we Catholics have with people who are on their road to sainthood, right? Like Charlene Richard, you go to the Lord and you're like,
she needs a miracle, Lord.
And lo and behold, here I am, right? But what is that other than saying, Lord, manifest your glory through her intercession. Show that you are at work in the world. Show that you love your saints. Show that you love those who obey your commandments and honor your name. Hallowed be your name. And this is not baseless. We actually hear in the prophet Ezekiel that Israel was in exile in Babylon and they hadn't gotten any better. The whole reason for them going into exile was to correct them and convert them, and it wasn't happening. But as the side effect of that, people were beginning to mock the God of Israel. They were beginning to mock God. Like, see what happened to your people? See, you have no power. And so the Lord actually says to Israel, you haven't done anything to deserve this. But for the sake of my own name, for the sake of my reputation, I will bring you out of exile to manifest my glory to the nations. Right? And I think there is a real sense in which we turn to the Lord and say, Lord, what have I done to deserve your help? I don't know. But I do know that it would manifest your glory if you healed me. It would manifest your glory if you converted me. It would manifest your glory if you forgave me. And your name would be glorified. Hallowed be thy name. And so, dear brothers and sisters, as we turn to pray the Lord's Prayer today in Mass and otherwise, I ask you to really intend with your heart and your mind. Don't exaggerate it with your voice, but intend in your heart and mind when you come to that petition, hallowed be thy name. Mean it sincerely. Mean it as consciously and sincerely as you can. Right? Lord, may your name be glorified in the world. Lord, may people turn to believe in you. Lord, may our minds and hearts be enlightened by your beauty. Lord, in this time where we're struggling, where we're suffering, where we're upset at corruption, glorify your name, manifest your name, show forth your almighty power, stretch out your right arm. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. God bless you all.